What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 90 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin. Alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
We're like 10 away from 100.
We are exactly 10 away from 100.
I know how to count by tens.
I had a math class or two in my schoolings, and I can confirm that we are exactly 10 episodes away.
I only had one math class in my collegiate schooling, and it was statistics, which I don't consider actual math.
What? Come on.
I hate stats. Stats were dumb.
I think we've talked about this in the pod before, but stats are great.
No, they're dumb.
No, they're awesome.
I like calculus better than statistics. Ooh, for sure.
None chance. I would happily.
But you know, I took calc in high school, so yeah.
I'd happily smash a business statistics class over calculus any day.
That's just because it's got lady business students in it.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, that why wouldn't you want to gear your classes towards better odds at interactions with ladies?
That's the reason I was a business major. That's not true at all.
That's not true at all.
No. But
I once
that was a nice perk to being a business major.
Yeah, you know,
right? Well, you wouldn't know. You weren't there. You did a plants major.
Yeah. We
had a lady.
We had ladies.
Her name
too.
Was Gretchen.
Oh, come on.
She was 40 going back to school.
No.
English didn't work out for her. Oh. She had a really good garden out back. Figured, you know what? I could do this. She was super cool, though.
You're cutting deep right now.
Get him, Gretchen.
This is not fair.
Well, because you can't, I mean, you can't come after the business major.
You're totally being a Chico State business major bro right now. What do you mean I can't come after you?
Did you see the ladies? Did you see the ladies in the Chico business major?
I was there.
Yep.
So
right, and so this argument's over now.
Whatever. Come and then you married the exact opposite of that.
Oh, totally. I married a what. Not
a free spirit.
Yeah, a free spirit. She tried to make up her own major, and it didn't work out. But she was a psychology major, which we all know
is a major for self-help.
Well, no, it's a major for I need to go to more school if I want to do anything with it. And she did. She got a teaching credential. But, you know, it's in that same boat as like,
got it.
Oh, so you are a English major. Great. So what's your master's going to be in?
I'll have a mocha, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, I really like that leaf that you put on top with the foam. That was fantastic. I bet you could write a book about it. I mean, you won't finish it and no one's going to read it, but sorry.
Wow. Oh man. So,
Listen, I don't use my business degree, really.
Yeah.
So we're okay.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
I guess I actually do. I work in management.
You manage
at this
people.
Point,
so
that's true. That's true.
And I took enough classes to get an AA in business, but didn't do it.
I took one class shy of a minor in economics.
Ooh. Fancy.
I know. I should have just. I feel like if I ever go back for my MBA, I'm going to be like, hey, can I also just take this one class? Can I get like a minor? Can I just do that?
You probably could. I mean, there's always options for that.
Yeah. And it was like macro. Like, I enjoyed it. I just I missed a test.
But why would you do it is the real question.
So I can say I have a minor in economics.
Yeah, but nobody cares. Especially the like. 11-year-old kids that are running around you all day.
You know who cares? My mom cares. And by my mom cares, I mean she doesn't care.
I don't think so.
She doesn't care at all.
Yeah.
You want to know why I almost had a minor in economics? I had a very smart fellow student of mine, a young lady who said, hey, did you know that you only have to take 3 extra econ classes at this school and it's a minor? And I was like, oh.
No,
I could totally do that, and then I didn't. I thought about getting a minor in philosophy, and it was going to be like 11 extra classes. And I was like, that's like a full major. I don't need that.
It's like a microcosm of your life right
now. I mean, this is probably the thing I enjoy the most out of school right now. But I don't got time for that.
This whole conversation is a total analogy for you in disc golf, too. It's like, you know, I could go out in the field and throw these low speed discs and try and throw them straight, and I would get better at upshots.
But I could try and throw 400 with every throw with these beefy wide rim discs. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
Or I could not do that at all and then talk about doing it later.
Yeah. You know what? My field work has gone down so much.
Yeah.
I'm like sad.
You know, work and stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, like work and stuff and trying to like be good at it and like promote and stuff, and it's like, these are the shoes I wear most of the time.
Yeah.
Not really disc golfing and dress shoes. And
you probably stopped whacking off in the bathroom.
What, like at my house or?
Well, I mean,
at work.
At work.
At work, hell no. There's no way anything weird happens at a place where you work with children, period. I don't care if kids are there or not. Hell no. Never crossed my mind. That's how you go to jail for life.
Yeah, well, okay.
I ain't no dum-dum.
I mean, it seems like you might. It might be worth the risk, you know, stressful day. People forgive you.
I fine. Live 5 minutes away from work, all right?
Drive home.
If I need to, I'm going home.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're incorporating a little more professionalism into your work life and working on crushing it.
I enjoy that, but I'm like, I do longingly look out to the field very often.
There's a field across the street from my work that is almost big enough to throw in, but it's just not.
Right.
And the consequences on two of the sides are hitting cars.
Oh, cars. Yeah.
And then the other side is vineyard and stuff, and it doesn't matter. But, yeah.
Hey, listen, if you run to a vineyard manager and they see you put a disc into some grapes, that'll matter.
No. They'd be like, what are you doing?
Say it's cool, don't worry about it, and then you just walk away.
Pretty much, yeah. In Spanish.
How do you say it's cool, don't worry about it in Spanish?
I have no idea.
Okay. I was like, I don't think I can figure it out.
Don't worry about it would be no te preocupes. So you could say, está bien, no te preocupes.
Yeah.
But that's...
That probably doesn't work very well.
No, probably not.
Not that just telling someone in general it's cool, don't worry about it works well. Anyways.
In general.
Why did you just break that window? It's cool, don't worry about it. No, what? No, that's not how it works.
I mean, some people might be a little taken back by it.
Someday there will be a kid at my work that does something ridiculous and he's like, it's cool, don't worry about it. And I'll probably just be like, all right.
You're going places, kid. It'd be like the Office Space. You just promote him. Be like, all right, you're the new director.
Yep, I'm out. Get after it.
And yeah, why not? Would you? So I got to play disc golf this last weekend. You got to play disc golf. We didn't play together, which is unusual.
But this weekend, it should be money, right?
No, probably not.
Are you like full family time this weekend?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
Christmas is on Monday.
Christmas Eve
is on Sunday.
Well, Christmas Eve's a big deal for my wife's family.
Yeah, my family and my wife's family too, but
yeah.
The 23rd is a free day.
No, my wife's got to work, and I'll be hanging out with babies. So, yep. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll find somebody else to play disc golf with.
Yeah, and I think she has to work at like 10 too, so I can't even get away with.
Oh,
so
I was back by 11. Like when I played on Sunday, that was one of my stipulations. I was back by 11. We got around them pretty darn quick.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
All right.
I don't think so. Maybe, depending on how well work goes, you could maybe do Friday morning. But we'll
see. Oh, no. Well, I don't know. I've actually been thinking about like trying to not work on Friday. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I kind of don't have to work on Friday. Just I got to do a lot of work tomorrow. And then I could really be good. And then we have a Christmas party. So... Should be.
What
do
you guys do for what are you doing for your Christmas party?
Got a bunch of food and just everybody's gonna hang out at the office.
The yard?
And,
yep. Oh, nice. That's yeah. Rad. Yeah, so, your place works out well for that.
Bunch of food and then we'll give everybody their bonuses
bonus?
No, it's not.
What's
as much as it would be beneficial for most, if it was sexual, is definitely not sexual. It's money. It's monetary.
Oh, yes. Yeah. See, no, I wasn't thinking sexual at all. I don't understand what that
yes,
is.
Yes, you were. You were.
Where you get, when there are places that give you like extra money.
Oh, I thought you were trying to put emphasis on the bone part.
No.
Of bonus.
No, like, that's you that goes like there, boning. Not me. I was more like, I don't understand this like extra money thing.
It's pretty illegal to give a bonus that is a sexual favor. So
that's not what I was talking about.
I definitely wouldn't do that.
Like, so
also,
they work extra hours and then you give them extra money?
No. We just give them extra money to thank them for all their hard work over the year.
Oh. Oh, like their hard work of like impacting children and like changing their lives and making them better people.
No, mostly building things.
Sweet.
Yeah. So,
you know, I got a bonus once.
I bet you did.
Actually, I've never gotten a bonus.
Really? It's kind of a normal thing in a lot of companies.
Not in nonprofits. That's not a thing in nonprofits. I'll tell you that right now.
You should probably work on that. I mean, think how much cooler it would be if you were getting a bonus on Friday.
That'd be pretty neat. But at the same time, you know, you always watch like the classic Simpsons Christmas, like the first Simpsons Christmas. But you watch other ones where the families are planning on the bonus for whatever, and then it doesn't come through,
oh,
and it's ruined their lives. I've never planned on a bonus, so I've never been disappointed by not getting a bonus.
Got it. Well, you know, that's kind of like the loved and lost thing. It's a sad life, but you know, it's working.
I would rather have loved, I guess, in that category, but it's all right. It's all right.
Think of all the.
I'm rewarded every day with the smiles on the children's faces.
Oh yeah,
but I also, you know, more money would be cool.
You want a tissue right now to wipe that solitary tear?
No, I'm good. No, okay, no tears. Cool. No tears. I just want to say silly things.
So I played at a pretty cool course over the weekend called Stafford Lake, which is in Novato, California, and played with some other podcast listeners, which was awesome. And one guy that was fairly new and was actually doing pretty well for a noob. He was like two or three months into disc golf and kind of had several of the throws down and still was just starting to discover how hard putts are. You know, like when you first play out there and you don't realize how hard putting is and you're just kind of throwing the disc at the basket and you make some long putts just because all you're focusing on is just aiming at the basket and getting it in there and you're not concerned about the conditions or rolling too far past the basket or
which part of the chains you hit.
Yeah,
like, just get it in there. And you're throwing with like a driver because that's the only disc you have. And you're just like, ah, we're good.
And then you start to practice and get practice your putting. You get a basket. And then all of a sudden, putting is the most complicated and difficult thing in your whole world because you no longer can just be that guy. Oh, I'm just gonna wing this over there at the basket. It's gonna go in. It's gonna be sweet. Instead, it's like, all right. So I got about that's about 7.5 mile an hour crossing wind. It's a slight head.
So I gotta nose down and
approximately 8 inches up in elevation here.
Put a little pump on it.
I'm gonna guess that I'm about 23.6 feet. And,
what is your? You know what? I'm gonna move in.
Blood alcohol is about 0.096, so I'm definitely gonna have to put a little more into this.
Well, anytime you figure out what your blood alcohol is, if you're putting it's above whatever you're thinking it is, I'll tell you that if you're at a 0.096, you're at like a 0.012 or something, or 0.12.
0.12, yeah, it would be.
You're definitely above whatever you feel you are.
I mean, 0.012 would be like when I wake up.
Yeah. Let's see. I had a beer 7 hours ago.
All right.
Still rocking.
But yeah, it's definitely. And he had just kind of gotten to that point where he was. You know,
what did he putt with?
I feel like they were judges. I can't remember.
So he probably like was figuring out pretty well.
I mean, he had some good putts.
That's
certainly,
right.
Certainly some decent approaches and stuff like that. The forehands were working most of the day, and the backhand was kind of, you know, still a big time work in progress.
Well, that's that Shane mold.
Yep. Yeah, it's Shane's fault.
Yep. Yeah, just work on the big old flex forehand first, figure everything else out later.
Yeah. You're going to need this very overstable disc. You're going to want to get your arm at a pretty high angle and just throw it.
No. It's going to come back. Don't worry about it.
Just throw it as hard as you can.
Yep. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, so that's a...
Oh, you hit the hillside? Yep. You don't want to do that.
Way to go, Shane.
Listen, he bombs. He can do whatever.
Just jacking up your friend.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like you should... I don't know.
When Shane got out of earshot, I gave little tidbits of advice here and there.
Right. Well, what do you think? Do you think, and this is like a nice kind of, we'll move in before we get into the full on breakdown. Would you push a beginner to, well, no, actually, I guess we saw with Spencer anyways. I guess you start with pushing them to be very good at what comes natural.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you feel comfortable with a forehand, then I'm going to spend time pushing you to do it in a clean, yeah, like, consistent way and not do that overstable big flex thing.
Yeah. I feel that the people that gravitate towards the forehand first and start as forehand only have to see someone make a backhand shot that they didn't know was possible.
Right.
And really see the benefit. And then they just know, like, okay, there's no way I can beat that person, you know, play to that level without developing that shot. And so I think that's part of it. And you definitely don't want to be a downer on the round and be like, if you don't learn how to backhand, you ain't going to be shit.
Right.
You know, so right. you got to let them do it and play. And if they're, you certainly don't want to hamper the development of a forehand if they like it and it's working. It's an extremely useful shot.
Without a doubt.
That will service them, you know, come in very handy over the years. So definitely don't want to be like, put that forehand away and learn how to backhand, you know, let it develop. And then if you can learn
them both.
Yeah.
Same thing. If you feel comfortable with the backhand off the bat, like, start getting that field work going early though, too, with the forehand.
Yeah. And he certainly was using backhand shots too. So
that's great.
It wasn't, but whenever he needed everything, it was a forehand.
Mm-hmm.
So that was,
I still don't think I'll ever get there, but you know what I'm prepared to say? I am confident in my forehand.
Yeah, that's good.
It'll never be something that I pull out for a distance drive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'll say never, but it's not anywhere close to the place where I feel like there's a distance drive, but it is a shot now that kind of lives in the same world. It's like a PD2 Spikeiser where I'm like, mm-hmm, there's a very like good distance range,
yep,
that I feel very confident that I can hit with a forehand,
yep,
and I can step up to it and say, you know what? Yeah, I can get that.
Like that 250 foot type, yep, type,
yep,
area.
I might even say 300.
Yeah. When it needs to be.
When it needs to be. But yeah, that 250, 260, I totally, for the first time in my disc golf career, have had enough good ones in a row that it's no longer flukes. Mm-hmm. And I feel good about it. Now, next time we go, I'm going to turn something over and, yep, do something gross.
Yeah, I really only use the forehand when it absolutely is 100% the best shot for,
right,
it.
Right.
You know, so, and just for me, I have a lot more control these days. But when it's that pure left to right hyzer shot that doesn't require anything else, you know, getting around a corner and skipping, or mostly a lot of times approach shots too. But it, you really need it. You got to have that forehand.
Yeah.
There's so many different times on a course where you open up a whole nother part of the line just by having that forehand shot. So
right.
I never would ever discourage someone from continuing to throw that way. And they'll figure it out eventually that they need a backhand too. Just so same way that, you know, and there's certain people that never develop a forehand. And I think that's a mistake too. So
right, no, it was crazy watching. We haven't said it in this podcast. We said it in the pre-show. CCD just put out a good group of videos of the Vintage Cup, which is in Napa, California, at a course called Skyline, which is amazing.
And I sadly haven't watched it at all yet, which is terrible.
Well, if we finish this fast enough, we can watch a couple.
There we go.
While I edit
or something. We'll expedite this podcast so we can watch some disc golf.
More than I would ever think were people throwing turnovers, which are just not tough forehand shots. I was kind of blown away on a handful.
Interesting. Yeah, there's definitely like three or four holes there. Well, there were. I haven't been there since the fires, and I know that certain holes really got pretty badly impacted. But there were three or four holes there where just an intermediate forehand hyzer was going to get you parked.
Right.
So
and then the other thing too. So watching it, and you'll see if you got a thumber.
Oh man,
you're a big jerk.
They even have their summer tournament there, the summer thumber, because the people with a good overhand shot can just absolutely destroy that course.
Sorry to spoil a little bit for you. FaZe is real good at Skyline.
Yes, he is. I don't doubt that.
There are thumber lines that even though we played with thumber dudes, I didn't think you could throw at Skyline that he and a few other dudes on his card were throwing.
Normally, I call those people jerks, but FaZe.
Oh, so here's a quick one. Here's a quick, for instance, that you'll get. And I'm sorry for those of you. Well, watch CCDG and you'll understand.
Yeah, you'll see. It's an awesome course, and it's a different look than you see, and it really gives you a great idea of what we play on a regular basis here in Northern California with the hills and the elevation and everything that we deal with here.
And this is the majority of the course we play. This isn't an anomaly. This is Northern California courses, or Sonoma County courses anyways, even though it's Napa. Anyways, hole 19, the one that's that tee pad back behind the porta potty, he threw a thumber past the basket over the fence.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen people park that with the thumber shot, but going past it, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. So he went a good 45 feet past the basket on a thumber. Crazy.
Yep.
My shoulder is aching right now.
I want to do that.
I know. I almost feel like I actually was contemplating earlier today, fully working on my left hand for overhands, which would be the longest term thing you could ever do. But that's my only functional shoulder. I have a better chance of learning to consistently throw overhands left-handed than throwing pain-free right-handed.
You should totally do it. I want to see this.
Dude.
I desperately want to see this.
Just one video a day of me just
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. That would be amazing. I would love to see that. Think how much better you would be as a disc golfer with a left-handed thumber. Probably terrible, actually.
Yeah,
now that
gross.
I say it out loud,
it'd be so dumb.
Sounds like you'd
be like, oh, it's an overhand hole. Let me
hold on.
Let me throw it into the ground with my left hand.
Yeah, Joe, stop doing it. That went 63 feet.
Looked good, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Oh,
you look like you got a hernia.
I may have actually gotten one. I think I did just get a sports hernia from trying to throw that overhand with my left.
You want us to go get a wheelbarrow or something, yeah, dude? Yeah. Are you okay?
Can you throw me in the back of a four-wheel or something?
Yeah.
I'm sure to go home.
We're just going to leave Joe over there in a lump on the ground, and we'll come back to him. Just put a few beers around him. He'll recharge the batteries, and he'll be fine in about 30, 40 minutes.
Recharge the batteries means finishing the beers that I have.
Yes, exactly.
So what are we going to talk about this episode?
Now that we're already 30-something odd minutes into it.
That's welcome to the Disc Golf Podcast.
No big deal. So we have another great episode of the Disc Golf Podcast for you. Episode 90. Holy crap, 90. And we're going to talk about, we had a Disc Golf Secret Santa in our Slack group. So we created this Slack group. Slack is a chat app that we use, and we got several hundred Disc Golf Podcast listeners in there. And we did a Secret Santa in there. And so Joe just absolutely got completely just the most amazing disc golf Secret Santa present.
I did.
I'm I'm without words as to how great this is. So
I for sure did. I'm not going to like pretend.
We're going to talk about that a little bit and some of the other stuff we saw and how awesome it is that everybody is was sending out such great gifts. But
almost everyone. The majority.
Joe got totally spoiled by
his, I did. I got stupid spoiled.
So that's fantastic. And then we have our world famous deer review, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight we have the Vibram Trek, which is a fairway driver, right?
Yeah, that's what a fairway.
We'll call it a fairway driver. And then we have the Track 7 Panic IPA, which is a 7% alcohol IPA, and we'll review them both. So Track and Track.
See what we did there?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
And it's winter time. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah. I think there's like a day left, maybe 2 days left. I think a day left. I think the 20th. I believe Hanukkah started on the 13th. I could be wrong. So there's either 1 day or 2 days left of Hanukkah. So
we hope everyone is hanging out with family and getting some time off. So that's
sweet.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna jump into this.
Yeah. Please do. Talk about how amazing this is.
It's like I don't even fully know what to say. I'm going to start with, I got a second run alpha mint.
Yeah.
Mint alpha. And it's silver, but it has an awesome dye job on it. So this is a shaving cream dye, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's
Well, let me take a closer look at that. Yeah, that's definitely a shaving cream method.
But it's perfect. So if y'all have mint discs, they and Sublime, they dye real good.
And for those wondering, a shaving cream dye is when you take like a pie tin and you fill it with shaving cream, or it could be a plate even. Anything that you can make a bed of your old-fashioned like Barbasol shaving cream.
Right, right.
And you basically scrape it off perfectly flat with a ruler or a knife or something like that, and you sprinkle or apply dye to it, whether it's powdered dye or if you mix some water into it and make a paste out of it or a complete liquid, and you make patterns on the shaving cream, and then you put the disc face down in it and leave it there. Typically, like, I don't know, like 18 hours, 24 hours. Longer you put it in, the more intense the dye is. But yeah, that's what a shaving cream dye is.
So yeah, so this, like, the plastic in general is like super, I don't even know what to call it, like milky almost.
Yeah.
And the dye like hit beautifully.
Yeah, it looks great.
So it's a beautiful second run silver mint alpha, beautiful. But then, not one, not two, but three beautifully, beautifully dyed Moonshine Trespasses.
Yep.
Three beautiful Moonshine Trespasses.
The Church of the Trespass is back.
The church is like they're like it can't not be back. But the coolest part is Robert Graham. I figured out who it was. I took some hints and figured out who it was.
I didn't tattle Robert.
No. Listen, Robert, I knew it came from Texas. I saw some dye jobs in the All My Exes Are From Texas, whatever the Texas group on Slack. And then I noticed that I got a couple extra gifts that I'll tell you about that were branded AMD. And I went back in my mind and figured out who it was. Anyways,
let me backtrack here. For those of you that want to join us in Slack, now that we've mentioned it several times, if you go to our website, throwstuffatstuff.com, there is a link in the main navigation that'll take you there. It says join Slack. You click there, you put in your email, and you'll take you right to it, and got to download the app on your phone or your computer, whatever you want to use most, and you can chat with us. Joe and I will welcome you. We got tons of other people. They create their areas, local areas, channels for like Northern California or Texas or Colorado, you know, all the different, there's tons of people. It's awesome. So,
right.
And we have a Secret Santa, which is been amazing.
It's been super cool. We've seen some really great gifts.
Some really generous people.
Yeah. Yeah. So Robert reached out to Robin for some different graphics for, you know, discs that he's made in the past.
And I'm now thinking that it was someone else that actually reached out to me for the logo, but my memory could be failing me.
Oh, well,
I assume it was him because he obviously has our logo.
Yeah. So basically two of the trespasses have a DGP that actually will probably be similar to the stamp that will drop with discs, I assume, at some point.
I think so. Like, I really like the way that turned out.
And then an awesome Giants one. So the Giants one with like an orange. I don't even know how he dyed it.
It looks to me like he used, I'm guessing, glue, like Elmer's glue and drew patterns in it from there.
Ooh.
That would be my guess.
Okay. It's gorgeous. And then there's a spin dye orange with the DGP logo. And then another shaving cream dye with the DGP logo. But they're three, and they're a good mix of weights, too. It goes 68 all the way to 74. So it's like, I think there's a 68, a 72, and a 74, which is great because I think I said probably in last episode or the one previous that I was kind of missing the beat-in stage that some of my trespasses that I've lost were in, and I know with that 168 I'm going to get closer there right off the bat, but also I can start beating these in and getting them where I want them, and I'm full in back on trespass train. You can't help but be. I was pretty much there anyways, but these are so gorgeous that they have to be thrown.
Yeah, I they look terrific. And of course, you know, you love trespasses, so why not?
Yeah, totally.
You've been getting away with them or getting away from them because you've been throwing your rampages all the time.
But they have a place, and I'm excited. And because I'm not doing as much field work, too, like, I know my arm isn't all the way there, too, so it's really a nice thing to have that I can feel confident throwing. And that's kind of the reason that the trespass really started rolling in the first place, because I can just feel, I felt so confident just off the bat the first time I threw a trespass that it was going to pretty much be point and shoot and go where I want. So I'm excited to be rolling with these. Thank you. Like, it's so rad. These discs are gorgeous. I posted pictures in our Slack group. We'll probably get some more pictures up here and there. Maybe through Instagram, Robin can take some pictures as time goes on.
I'm definitely going to.
And you'll be able to see these gorgeous, gorgeous discs. And, you know, we had a first run alpha, and I've heard plastics and runs matter too, so I will definitely, I mean, it's gorgeous. I'm going to be throwing this alpha for sure. I'll figure out where it fits in my bag, but, you know, I'm in the mind that things that are really pretty need to be thrown rather than put up on a wall, because I think we brought it up last week. You can actually do both with discs. I don't know if you know that. They can be on your wall, and then when you go for the weekend, you can pull it off your wall and throw it and go back and forth. So I'm super excited. I got super spoiled. You know, and he wrote an awesome note, too, that I'll probably read next week just because I forgot to bring it.
And then the other thing is I personally do a lot of dye work myself and enjoy seeing people's different techniques and really some great techniques that have been used, a really kind of wide range of different things. You called one a spin dye. I don't think it's actually a spin dye.
I think he messaged me something about a spin dye.
Okay. I mean, I can see parts of it looks like he possibly spun it. But he also masked out certain areas really well, which is pretty cool. I think maybe with glue again. On it. So, yeah, I guess it could be. I think you're right. I think it is. But it looks really nice. And then I feel like just looking at the black that he put on for our logo, that he used like one of those big giant Sharpies instead of traditional dip dye.
Possibly. This one, though, looks definitely not Sharpie.
Yeah, the Giants one looks like dye.
Yep.
So, but yeah, really interesting. It's always fun to see another artist's work and how they do certain things and try and figure it out, because there's a lot of little details in it and techniques that people use, little tricks of the trade to get the different appearances. And so there's some really creative stuff here. So I was extremely impressed by seeing these and seeing stuff that I don't know how to do. So
yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, I mean, rolling in by the time my birthday hits, which is the 28th, my bag is going to look a little different.
I'd say so, because you got some second-run FDs, too?
Yep. Robin got a couple of second-run FDs a few weeks back, and now he's got another, and I have one, too. So that'll definitely go in the bag, and then going to have at least one more trust. I have a Moonshine Trespass and a Lucid Trespass in my bag right now. Those will both go out because these look way cooler.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I just need to carry all three Trespasses, which might happen.
Yeah.
And then there's another disc that I know is coming that I won't say yet. But there's another disc that will definitely go straight in my bag. So
your wife doesn't listen to the podcast.
She doesn't. So I have deduced, no one told me anything, I've deduced that a Zone is in my future. So a Zone will definitely go straight into my bag.
Someone may or may not have told your wife to do that.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Very much appreciate it. Robin's been doing a lot of good for me lately, like amazingly good things for me, and I really appreciate it. I know I've said it in Slack to you, just some messages, but on the podcast, thank you for all of the great things that you're doing. It's appreciated.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
I love you, and Merry Christmas.
I love you too. Merry Christmas.
And one other thing I want to mention on these that Robert, when he put these together, is that he did something with the logo I designed that I hadn't really considered in terms of stamping. And we're probably going to, when we stamp discs early, that we're working on it now, and I've been kind of tootling with the logo. And he kind of simplified and removed part of my design and kind of focused on the microphone that I designed and kind of an old school condenser mic to look like a disc golf basket. But I've got chains going around the outside of it and things like that in our logo that you surely saw when you went to this podcast. But he kind of just eliminated the outside part of it and the words and just went with the microphone. And I like it. It actually looks pretty good, and I think I'll probably make a little few tweaks and go with something similar when we stamp discs here in 2018. So I appreciate that too.
Yeah, and those are coming.
Yeah,
and we won't go into any depth at all, aside from what I'm going to say now. And then Robin doesn't need to say anything. Robin's going to win a championship in fantasy football, and that's going to help push our printing of discs.
I'm working on it. So hopefully.
So yeah. So basically we're sitting in this like beautiful D stack. we got these beautifully dyed discs and some second run FDs just hanging out with us. A little track over here.
Yeah. Technically there's a stack of Ds between us.
True that.
Because we're not sitting in the D stack. The stack is sitting between it.
We are among the D-stack.
It's a D-stack sandwich.
Yeah, we're sandwiches. And sometimes you got to sandwich
and
those Ds.
You and I are the bread.
Hell yeah.
Or, you know, maybe it's a wrap and we're like a tortilla. I don't know.
No, I think we're definitely separate. I don't
Two
know that
separate
we could
things.
Be. Yeah.
What kind of bread are you?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I feel like I would be like a Mexican sweet bread.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't really work for sandwiches.
No.
I feel like you could definitely
be really bad.
I feel like you definitely could be some sourdough.
Oh, for sure. I was going to totally say sourdough.
I like your sourdough. Sourdough is my favorite. Like if I'm
number
toast,
one, it's pasty
but
white.
I'm not that sour.
pasty white and condescending.
And I want to you know what I am? This is what I am. Do you remember Iron Kids bread?
I do.
So I'm like Iron Kids bread. I'm like white bread that's like got some extra
toasted Iron Kids.
Like it's like I'm a white dude, but if you like I'm actually Mexican, but you would never know it. I got some extra nutrients and
I don't think
vitamins.
Iron Kids bread actually has extra nutrients. I'm pretty sure it's
just white bread.
Just the worst possible bread that
No, it totally is.
You could ever feed your child.
It totally is. I just don't like wheat bread. I'm like the guy who doesn't like wheat bread.
No. Well, I mean, you could.
I could be, you know what? I'm like the really cool, like, super grain wheat bread that has, like, walnuts and stuff in it. Like, that's more me where it's nutty. Still, like, I'm nutty. You know, it tastes good, and you just roll with it.
I think you're dead on. I'm certainly sourdough.
Yep. I think I will. Come on.
Pasty white.
We all know what's happening.
Condescending.
Yep. Yep.
Just in general.
Yep.
That's me for sure. Word. And you know, San Francisco's famous for sourdough. And
Sourdough Sam is the mascot of Jimmy Garoppolo's 49ers.
Yes. Yes. And Jimmy G is the world right now. If you're not on that Jimmy G train, it's magical out here.
Right? Doug went to a Niner game. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I have not gone to a Niner game at Levi Stadium ever, but I might actually now.
And those of you who are fans of, like, actually good football teams that have been doing well, we've been in the pits for several years now and watching Jimmy Garoppolo come over from the Patriots and just turn what we thought was a complete dumpster fire into a team that competes every week and wins games. It's got a little half chub. He's also
very handsome.
Very good looking man.
Very handsome.
And so it's hard not to notice that for sure.
Right. Yeah.
So yay.
Get him, Jimmy G.
Should we move along from handsome men to our world famous deer review?
I think so.
All right. It's time for our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight we have the Vibram Trek, which is a 7-speed, 4-glide, -1 turn, and 2-fade fairway driver. And we're pairing it with Panic IPA by Track 7 Brewing Company, which is out of Sacramento, California. So,
why don't you start us off with, whatever. disc or beer.
Start us off with, like, whatever.
Sorry. I mean, you knew what I meant. You knew what I meant. Like, I already know where I am with the disc.
Got it.
And the beer, I feel like we'll be in a similar world.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start disc because I like leading with the disc for the most part.
You got to lead with that D.
Exactly. It's very important. But so it's 7-speed, 4-glide. Both of those I'm fine with. The -1 turn is where I would disagree with the numbers. It should probably a little bit more than that. I'd say -2.
Yeah.
And then the 2-fade I think is fine. I think all the only one I'd argue with on there is the 2-fade, and we are using numbers off of infinite discs.
You mean the turn, not the fade?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. The turn being the only one that I would argue with, because Vibram doesn't really use the 4 flight numbers on their disc. They use like a single number, and then they show the flight path on the bottom of the disc
based on a speed that you throw it though.
Yeah,
too.
like if you throw it at its optimum speed, which they tell you on the bottom of the disc. If you want to flip that over into,
yes. So it says 50 speed 450. I don't understand what that
so
means.
So that means that if you throw it at 50 miles an hour, it's supposed to go 450 feet. I think was the
okay.
Thing. Maybe it's 50 kilometers.
That's not true, because I think we both throw it over 50 miles per hour, and it definitely does not go 450.
But and they've got they use 8-fade and 9-turn. I have no idea what those numbers mean, but I at some point, I believe the thing was that at the end, so it says 8, it's supposed to drop, you know, fade like 8 feet or 8 degrees, something along those lines.
Okay,
and it's supposed to turn 9 degrees, or I can't remember whether it's feet or degrees, but that's how the Vibram thing.
Listen, so it's working. Like Vibram. I've never understood or cared for their.
I don't understand it either. But I think I'm in the general right area and how I'm.
I think you are. I remember we both kind of jumped into Vibram hard at the same time when it was first coming out.
But certain discs I really really used for a while, like the Obex. Mid-range disc, I bagged
Ibex
for a while.
And Obex. I had both in the bag for a long time, and we will. And someone in Slack was like, "Y'all don't really care about Vibram. You know what's going on. You don't give it a chance." We did, and we enjoy, and we will definitely talk about those discs.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Totally.
Those will come around. Those were big parts of, I mean, that was probably the first mid-range that you had before me that I threw yours and went, all right, I'm ordering one like right now.
Yeah.
Before addiction fully set in, where it was like anytime I was like, I kind of like that one time I threw it out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm just going to buy one. Like that was one I off the, like, anyways.
Boy, I just saw a leaf fall from that tree. I should buy some discs.
Yes.
That's pretty much how it works.
And so this is in the, I think this is like the X-Link firm.
Yes, it is. And we should mention that we were sent an Obex recently.
Yes.
It was somebody did a mystery disc along with another disc we were going to review, and it was an Obex. So.
Yeah.
So we have one over there along with an Ibex and a couple other things. So we've got some other, and I think we did the Vibram Soul before, right?
We did, yep.
And in a previous episode, so we've done a few of them. Vibram has some good discs. Another Vibram disc I bagged for a while was the Ascent, which is a bit more stable than, certainly way more stable than the Track, but not crazy overstable. So it just came. Vibram discs that I've thrown a lot of tend to get pretty understable for me, and as I developed a lot more power with my backhand shots, they kind of migrated out of the bag.
Yeah, so. Yeah, totally. So that was like one with, I guess, so when I was throwing Ibex, or when I was throwing the Obex a lot, I remember being somewhere, I was on a local course called Crane Creek, and I was playing with someone else randomly, and if you didn't know, Vibram is rubber. They make a lot of like soles for shoes,
mm-hmm.
and they tend to have like these really cool multiple colors of rubber together, and a lot of times, regardless of the disc you have, those color patterns are very similar.
Yeah.
So we both threw a disc that looked almost identical on a whole, I don't know, it's probably like 265 feet, and it was like downhill, and he was like, all right, lace? And I was like, no, man, I threw an Obex. And at that point, like the lace had already left both of our bags because it just went right.
Super understable, yeah.
Sorry, that was a crazy tangent. So I'm just going to go and talk about the Track, assuming Rob's already done because he's not, but I'm going to go anyways.
I didn't even actually get to describing the okay. Aside from the flight numbers.
Go back to it because I'm sorry.
So it is the 7-speed is dead on. I got no problem with that. Pretty understable. I mean, you can hyzer flip this right away. A brand new Track will hyzer flip and turn right away. And you can even get some pretty great turnover lines with it. Even some rollers if you're really going for it. You kind of need to make sure you have a firm one if you're going to try and roll it, because some of the like X-Link Soft are probably a little bit too gummy.
Well, X-Link Soft is soft.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to make sure you get a firm one if you're planning to get it to be a rolling disc. But you certainly can. It's pretty understable. Really, you can easy hyzer flips or, you know, turnover shots and hyzers that'll just, you know, never fade, really. Just kind of pan out and finish right for you for a right-handed player. So a pretty useful. I actually really enjoy this disc. It's a nice, understable fairway driver.
Yes. So all those things Robin just said, I throw a Track for. So I bag the Track. I bagged the Track for a long time. It was something that I think.
Didn't you lose it too?
So yeah. So here's my fun Track story. I had a soft Track. And
that you found at Stafford Lake, the course I played.
No.
Oh, okay.
I lost it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had a medium. The That's soft right. came after. I had a medium, yeah. and I lost it. Oh, okay. Never mind. This really happened. I had a soft, and I was like, that's cool, but it's like crazy floppy. I really want like a firm or a medium. Like literally the day that I was talking about wanting a firm or a medium, I found one at Stafford.
Brand new, no ink.
Brand new, no ink, exactly. Because I grip locked my disc and threw it over to the right on like hole 8.
Yeah, we're hunting for it
and forever. And then I found the exact disc. I was like, I want a disc like this. And instantly, it was a part of my game. Fast forward, it was too understable. I didn't want it. But at some point, I had been throwing the Bandit. I had been throwing a Roadrunner. I'd been all over the place. And then I had my Eagle, which was the best thing ever. And then I lost that. I had a super crazy, beautifully beat Champ Eagle. You've heard me talk about it, I'm sure, in the past.
Yep.
Rip. I'm sad inside that it's gone. But I needed this. I needed a turnover disc, and I looked on, well, I guess not on the wall at that time, probably in a stack somewhere in the Shedio, and saw the track and pulled it out and started throwing it again and realized how much I loved having a disc that I could not even have to crank full speed and just know that I could get it to finish right.
Mm-hmm.
And so instantly the track went in my bag and it just became my nice turnover disc.
Yeah.
And that's what I threw it for. Anytime I want a hyzer flip and turnover, for me, it really is a turnover disc. It's not a power down and hyzer, flip it up and go straight as an arrow. It's really like, if I want a fairway to finish right,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull a track out.
Yeah.
That's
true. I mean, I tend to power down more than you do on shots totally. Like that. So I can get it to fly straight and finish straight. But yeah, for the most
exactly.
part.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And it could fit that for everyone. It probably could be that for me, but really that's not what I'm like. I'd rather just throw an FD and give it a little more power if I want it to go
or
straight.
Or your Claymore.
Or my right. The Claymore has taken, I love the Claymore. But anyways, if I want to be able to like trust that something's going to finish right, I trust a track more than I do a Claymore, or even a Judge, for the most part. I just know I can crank it and it's going to have a nice slow right turn and finish right. And I recently lost one in LA when I played Twyla like the night before I came home and put a rotor into my bag. Haven't thrown a single time just because I wasn't confident. And then as we were went to play around with my buddy Marcos and we're looking through the discs on the wall, realized that Robin had a track, and I'm going to take it and throw it and be confident, just because the mental piece of disc golf is so huge, and just being able to know that this disc is going to do what I want,
mm-hmm.
like, just calms me down just that much that I'm very happy to have a track again.
Yeah,
without having to buy another track.
It's a good disc. I like it a lot. You're not gonna. It's understandable.
And I have thrown it rollers too. And it's a nice roller disc.
Yeah.
The only thing aside from what Ron was saying about the soft, medium, firm, the other thing you have to realize, it's made of rubber.
Yes.
So, if you crank it real, real hard, there's totally a chance of a bounce.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it works well. It feels good. It's a plastic unlike any other plastic.
Yeah.
It's Vibram. If you have any Vibram disc, you'll know. It's not tacky. It's not slick. It's just, it's Vibram.
Yeah, it's true. And certain, it's really important that you make sure you get the firm or the medium or the soft. You figure out which one you like and use that specifically. So.
Right.
That's probably the most critical part about any Vibram disc you get, is that you make sure you get the firmness that you're looking for. So firmness is a very important part of a lot of parts of life. So
yeah, firmness of that D, like, for sure.
Oh God, every time with you.
What are you talking about?
You're just always directing the show towards sexual stuff, and it makes me uncomfortable.
How's that saying? Like, you're saying I'm the one. You are the one who goes straight to the weird.
I mean, how am I supposed to concentrate with all this this sensual detox? It's not helping me. And I got a segue into talking about the beer now.
Where did sensual, like, that's all you, bro.
There's some moisture on the outside of the bottle of beer that I'm drinking, and it's getting intense. I think our listeners are probably struggling to maintain control too.
Like a circus fire?
Sure.
Intense. Get it?
Wowzers.
Pretty popular, made that joke on the show before.
Probably. I mean, you've only got like 7 jokes in your repertoire. So.
And we're on episode 90.
Episode 90, so we've covered all of those quite a bit.
So fun story before you talk about the beer. One of my coworkers started a podcast, and he wouldn't tell me the name of the podcast. And like super cryptic, blah, blah, blah. He was like, no, I'm never going to tell you. You don't need to know, blah, blah. Bet me $20 that I would never find out what his podcast was. Figured out like
7 minutes later.
Two hours later. And I think maybe next episode, just to mess with him, I'm going to like drop the name of that podcast to try and get as many people as possible to like blow up his like podcast feed.
I mean, all 7 of our Disc Golf podcast listeners would probably make a big difference. And
hey, listen, we hit a super cool milestone that we haven't said anything about before getting the beer. We are over 100,000 plays.
Yeah.
It's
pretty sweet.
It makes me happy.
It's like a underperforming cat video on YouTube.
But it's still a cat video with 100,000 plays. I'm in.
Oh man,
that'd be my cat video. So I'd be like, this is my cat.
Look at my cat.
She doesn't do a lot of stuff. She's just gonna lay there.
This is my cat sleeping.
Hi, Stella. Yep. Okay, sweet. All right, tell us about the beer.
Beer time. So the Track 7 Brewing Company, which is out of Sacramento, California, which is we got a major train museum and a lot of train tracks coming in and out. Some historic sites. So the premise of the brewing company is based around that. So Track 7 Brewing Company out of Sacramento, and this is the Panic 7, or it's a Panic India Pale Ale, which is a 7% alcohol IPA and a pretty standard smooth IPA. Not a ton of wiggle on this one. Nothing crazy out of the box. It's just what you would expect from most of the traditional IPAs, which is you got hop flavor, you got fairly crisp, smooth beer, but nothing crazy about this one.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you want like a 7% IPA with like tons of like hop forward, punch you in the mouth flavor? You probably don't want this beer. Do you want one that like it's just like super bitter and like gets after you? You probably don't want this beer. It's an IPA. I'm gonna be honest. Also, we have bottles that are a few months old. They might be past their prime a little bit. It's a tasty IPA.
Yeah. Smooth, pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Overall, pretty balanced flavor in this. Nothing crazy, but you get a little bit of malt in there too, I can taste. But it's not really overwhelming in any of the flavor, any of the flavors of you're looking for. It's pretty standard. This is like your typical IPA.
It's not bad at all. I mean, the 7% is nice because it's a little bit higher, but like if I put this straight up, if I went IPA for IPA, I put it up against like my standard Lagunitas IPA.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Lagunitas.
Or I got a box of Racer 5 over there. You could.
Oh yeah. And Racer is like 7.2. I'll go Racer all day over this.
Yeah. Me too.
It's good. It's good.
Yep.
That's kind of, I mean, that's what I'll say.
You can taste all of the different things you're looking for in an IPA. They're just not very strong.
Yeah.
So you got that little bit of citrus flavor. You got the you know, the fruity, the bitter, the hops. You can taste all that, little bit of malt, but nothing is really overwhelming and nothing is really jumping out at you saying this is what this beer tastes
but
like.
But if you want that punch, I mean, at 7%, you know, if the really hoppy stuff is too much for you, this would be a good beer. I mean, I kind of feel like it's if I had a Racer 5 and it was, I got it fresh out of the store, and it wasn't as cold as I wanted. I put ice cubes in it, and then I forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then I went back to drink it. Like, I kind of, it's kind of a watered down IPA, but it's still 7%. So I know there's definitely people that don't,
yeah,
that don't live in the world that I do, where I'm like, I want like crazy piney hops, like,
yeah,
get after me. This is probably a good IPA for you. It's clean. It's crisp. It's not crazy expensive. It's, you can get it wherever.
Yeah.
I think it's got a place.
Yeah. And I think the kind of smoothness of it makes it a good, good course beer. So, it, you know, just being that it's available, and it's a little bit dry on the finish, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not my favorite part about this, about IPAs. There are a lot of them that do that, but it's pretty good. It's we've done a lot of IPAs on the show, like a lot of them, and
it's like one or both of us really like IPAs.
And this one is just kind of, it's kind of neutral, you know. We don't dislike it at all. There's nothing wrong with the flavor of it. It just isn't doing anything to distinguish itself against a lot of other really good ones that we've tried. So
if I'm on my way to a round and I stop at a liquor store and they have a limited selection and there's 22s of Track 7 Panic, and that's the only thing I kind of know, there's no part of me that's going to be upset.
Oh, absolutely
grabbing
not.
This for a round.
No,
but at the same time, if I go into basically any store in our town and I see a Racer 5 or this, I'm going to go Racer 5 all day.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
but it's a good beer. It also, you know, we have in 22-ounce bottles. It also comes in cans.
It does, yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing. You can get a 6-pack and share with your friends, which is very course friendly.
And that is probably the more likely, way that I would get this beer.
That's true.
Is the 6-packs of cans. That makes a lot more sense than the 22-ounce bottles, I think, for the most part. So
right.
Yeah, good beer.
Good beer.
Martin Short probably loves this beer, I'm guessing.
Oh, you mean Martin Lawrence?
Oh, yeah. Wait. They're not... Those are different people?
Well, it's the hyphenated. It's Martin Lawrence Short.
Martin Lawrence Short. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Everyone knows that.
I've been very confused about
that. There's two Martin Lawrence Shorts. Did you know that?
I did not.
They somehow have the same hyphenated name.
Interesting.
There's one who was part of Three Amigos.
Uh-huh.
And one who was part of Bad
terrific
Boys.
Movie. Also terrific movie.
Right, right. And we were talking about the latter with our DG Bad Boys, end of a DG Bad Boys.
You know, I knew something was off when I was talking. I was like, Joe is crazy. He's making a mistake here, and I just can't quite put my finger
on
it.
Well, you know, in Hollywood, right, so if you Screen Actors Guild, you need to have a unique name. Like, you can't have multiple actors with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there are some people who go like I might be like, oh, here's a good one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right? He goes by Joe, but the Joseph, because there's already a Joe Levitt or whatever. So there was actually two Martin Short Lawrences, and they each chose one side of it in order to get their SAG card.
It makes total sense, aside from the fact that Martin Short is a considerably older, small Caucasian actor, and Martin Lawrence is a younger African American comedian. I guess they're both comedians.
Well, no, Martin Short is what he went by, but he had to go by his other last name because Martin Short was already there.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I dig deep. You know, yeah. I go those deep cuts.
So if this is the first episode that you're listening to and you decide to go back to episode 89 and hear Joe and I go on about the movie Bad Boys 2 and hear us talking about Martin Short and Will Smith in that movie, we're sorry.
I think we explained it well enough. We're good. We're good. All right, let's go to verdict. I think we'd both drink the beer. I don't know that it's something that like I'm like, yes, I'm going to get after, but there's no part of me that would be upset. If you rolled up with a 6-pack of Panic, I would.
No, it's a good
have
beer.
Have no problem it's getting just, after it.
It's a good beer. It's just not elite.
Obviously, I've already brought up, I bagged the Track. It is a, I will reiterate one more time, It lives in the PD2 world. It lives in the Firebird world for Robin, whereas it is a specialty shot disc for me. There's only a few different reasons I would throw it, but I definitely bag it because those things happen and I want to have it there.
Yeah. Firebird world meaning that you don't use it, you only use it for particular things.
Right, right.
Not that it's overstated.
No, nothing like that in the flight, but in the sense of it's a for specialty.
Yes.
One-off
for
shots.
Certain shot selection.
Right.
Yes. Makes sense. For me, the beer is fine. I like it. I got no problem with it. I'm not going to go nuts and try and keep it around all the time, but I'll certainly take it when I see it, and it's glad that it's a kind of local-ish brewery to us. So, and then the track, I used to carry it. I don't anymore. It's a very useful understable fairway driver, but it's not something that I bag or plan to bag in the future.
Perfect. Well, this is a Joe's Secret Santa, because I will be carrying at least three of these four discs in the future going forward. It might not be all four, but at least three of these discs are going to end up in my bag. And at least three of these D-Review pieces will be in our bags as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's all we got for you on this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Tune in. We'll definitely be doing episodes over the break, I think. So
we got time. We'll do it. We're planning. We'll make it happen.
But hopefully you enjoy the holidays with you and your family and manage to get some disc golf in the meantime, too. And we're very thankful for all of our wonderful listeners. And we're going to do our best to get some episodes out here before 2018 hits. So in the meantime, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thank you for listening. Get out there and throw stuff at stuff.